640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned of a possible deal between Israel and Hamas that could free some of the hostages in Gaza. In exchange, some Palestinian women and children would be freed from Israeli prisons. Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Daniel Kurtzer.
There's a groundswell of support in Israel for trading prisoners for hostages, and the government will have to take that into account.
A foreign ministry spokesman in China weighs in after President Biden answered a reporter's question asking if Xi Jinping is a dictator.
Well, look, he is.
The Chinese spokesman calls the comment extremely wrong and irresponsible. The mother of the Virginia boy who shot his teacher has been sentenced to 21 months in prison for using marijuana while she owned a gun. Her attorney, Gene Rossi.
She is incredibly remorseful. She is filled with guilt. And at no time did she intend or foresee the consequences of what she did.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 1.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials expect 600,000 hunters for opening weekend of the Wisconsin gun deer season. Jeff Pritzel is a deer specialist with the Department of Natural Resources. He says the number is trending down because deer hunting is more popular with baby boomers.
Last fall, the most common age of a deer hunter was 60 years old. And 5 years from now, it'll be 65 because that generation is still the dominant, participant.
Pritzel spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. A lot of people will be driving next week for Thanksgiving, and law enforcement will be out there, too. The Dane County Sheriff's Office, for one, is putting extra patrols on the road next week. Their overtime pay comes from a grant from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. As the two-year anniversary of the Christmas parade attack approaches, Waukesha is preparing to commemorate the solemn milestone. The city is making arrangements to reveal a special memorial on Main Street that will honor the victims of the incident. The memorial is said to represent the lives impacted by the tragedy that occurred during the annual parade, where a man drove his SUV through the procession, resulting in the loss of 6 lives and leaving numerous others injured. 11,000 turkeys have gone out to food pantries across the area. Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin is leading the effort to ensure that families in need will have a turkey for Thanksgiving. The initiative aims to alleviate the financial burden on families who may not be able to afford a turkey. The distribution was made possible through funding from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, and the American Rescue Act. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Jordan Love says the Packers are getting better. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice, although the team has lost 4 of their last 5 games. Quarterback Jordan Love says the offense is getting better thanks to receivers like rookie Jaden Reed.
He's not thinking. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he needs to get to and do some good things after the catch.
The Packers host the Chargers on Sunday. The WIAA State High School Football Championships are today and tomorrow at Camp Randall in Madison. Divisions 4 through 7 today, 1 through 3 tomorrow. Baseball, the Brewers introducing Pat Murphy as the new manager. Players like Christian Yelich supporting the hire. NBA, the last time the Bucks played in Toronto, they got blown out. Last night, they returned the favor with a 128-112 victory over the Raptors, and they did it with Giannis out with a sore calf muscle. Damian Lillard led Milwaukee with 37 points. The Bucks' Brooke Lopez.
You know, he did a great job leading us offensively, making sure everyone was in their spots, getting people involved, being himself.
With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Your updated forecast on the Shaw.
65 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered showers 40. 44 tomorrow. Clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show. I'm your guest host, Stu Daniels, 6 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. Earl will be back tomorrow, so you can look forward to that. And today on the show, we are discussing book banning, the banning of books in school districts and even in public libraries across the country. We had on a guest, Rory Lenane from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's published at least three articles in the past couple of weeks in the Journal Sentinel describing how this effort is going in our state. A number of school districts around our state banning books. Menominee Falls, right outside of Milwaukee, banned 33 books just recently. And the Kenosha School District now has 12 books under review because of requests to restrict these books. And we're taking your calls right now. The phone number is 844-967-2789. And just before the break, I was talking to Susan from Kenosha. And I'm sorry, Susan, that I had to interrupt you for the break, but why don't you finish what you had to say?
Well, thank you very much. And that is okay. I understand your policies. What I want to say is that I think that we need to come together as a community. And whether you have these biases against these people who are maybe a little different than you, they are still people. And we have no right to tell anyone how to run their life. We have no right to get into someone's bedroom or anything that is remotely concerned with this. If you have a book that you, like I say, you suspect maybe you don't want your child to read, let your child read it and explain the parts to them that you maybe think might convert them. But nobody is really actually converted into homosexuality or LGBTQ or anything. Those are things that are in you from as a child. And I think that we should, if a child has that type of tendency, then work with them and let them grow with it and be the person that they need to be. I worked in the medical field and I worked for the police department. And we never discussed any of this, although we knew that it was going on. But these people were hardworking. They did what they achieved their job to the best of their ability, and they were great people to work with. I myself was not, I'm heterosexual, but it didn't matter to me. It was the job that people do. When we put labels on people, then we're going to have to put a label on ourselves. And I wish that people would get away from this and just go out there, live your life to the best of your ability, be a good neighbor, be a good person, and support your state and support your people who are living in your state.
Yeah, those are great points, Susan, and I appreciate you calling. Let me just ask you one question before you go. Do you think, or why do you think, people feel threatened by these books? Evidently, they must feel threatened by the content of these books if they want these books to be banned so that their children can't read them. Do you have any ideas why they feel threatened?
I don't know as much as they feel threatened. They want control. There's a certain sector in the state of Wisconsin that wants to control. And they want to control what you read, what you think. And they change things. If you read online, and some of these things that these people send you, I'm on Facebook. Okay. And I will write supporting the good things that go on in this state and in this country. Okay. And someone will tell me, well, this is, they will go off on a tangent. They will call me names because they don't feel that the country is running as well as it should. And then they come up with these things that they actually print on different sites and they'll send them to me. And I will point blank say, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. And this is wrong. This is the way that it happened. I'm a book reader, of course. I read everything. I read a book a month at least, or maybe sometimes two, depending upon the subject. But I read what everybody has to say about a subject, not just people who agree with me. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I wish people would disagree with me because then it gives me time to go study it and come back and say, well, here, this is the information on this date. This is the information on that date. This is what was printed on here. Here it is. Here's the book. Read it. And that shuts them up because I know what I'm talking about. They are pushing rhetoric that certain type part of society wants to push and wants to control. And you cannot let them control you. Once they control you, or once they control a vast amount of people, then you kind of have something that they had in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. I don't want to say anything, but that's the kind of control they want. And you can never give them that control.
Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? Susan, thank you very much for the call. A lot of great points, and I appreciate you calling. Let's move down the line. Next on the list here, it looks like David from Mequon. David, good morning. Thank you for calling. What do you have for us today?
Good morning, Stu. Nice to hear you on the airwaves, and I hope your mom is doing well. I know that you moved back to Wisconsin for that reason, so I thought I'd put that out there.
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to just talk about really quickly, you know, with the banning of books per se, what the flip side is that the books that they're banning actually are being read more now. And the reason being, because even though they're banned maybe at the schools or what have you, that doesn't mean you still cannot purchase them online or read them online, things of that nature. So it's actually kind of a double-edged sword, because now it's like, why can't I read this book? And so I actually think it's going to do the exact opposite in that respect. But I do know, and I do have some friends that, you know, have younger kids in school, and, you know, what they're trying to do is it's a matter of, like, age-appropriate end of things. And it really is a matter of, like, for fourth grade down to kindergarten is what the focus has really been on lately. Because people forget, like, if you remember, like in 2006, Like Charlotte's Web was banned. That book was considered, it was inappropriate subject matter for a children's book because I think it was in Kansas, I believe, that I don't remember directly, but I do remember, and you brought it up, that books have been banned previously, but now it's skyrocketing. And I think it's due to the fact that, A, with COVID, parents have been surprised as to some of the things they might, you know, the kids might be learning in school. And yes, that could be a huge factor as to why you're seeing the increase, because parents may not have really thought about it, but it's like, oh my God, I want my kids reading that. And there are some parents who are definitely more controlling than others. And I understand that you want to protect the innocence of your child, or at least some do, but in some ways, and to some other callers, is that sometimes you do have to be exposed to things that maybe that you are not exposed to. And so, you know, it's complicated. But at the end of the day, I think we have to really look at, just, you know, type of books are specifically being banned and what the real reasons are, because some, your guest that was on this morning, she was saying, well, maybe a particular passage or whatever, you know, if that's what it is, then, you know, that's one thing. But if it's, you know, much more involved or more explicit, if you want to call it, in its, you know, description of things, I could see that happening, especially with younger kids. You don't want them to expose to really crazy stuff at a very early age. It's one thing when they're a young adult, but, you know, that's just my thoughts on the matter. So,
well, let me ask you this, David, and thank you for your thoughts. I appreciate that. But let me ask you, do you think that Charlotte's Web is a book that should be banned for grade school kids?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. I agree with you on that. You know, occasionally you and I agree on things, and that's good, because for me personally, Charlotte's Web had a big effect on me when I was a kid, you know, and even throughout my adult life, I've thought back to that book, certain passages in that book. I remember I was in third grade when our teacher read us the book, and I just, I have always been someone who's looked back at that book and thought about it throughout my adult life. So it had a big effect on me. I'm sure there are others listening and other people who it similarly had a big effect on. And so I'm happy to hear you say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David, thank anything else?
I was going to say one thing. We have this cancel culture out there, and it bothers me, because when you look at, you know, here we are coming up to, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and we can't even call a Christmas tree a Christmas tree anymore. We have to call it a holiday tree. And I'm not Christian, I'm Jewish, but that'd be like saying, you know, calling the menorah, like, you know, a holiday, you know, festival of lights or something along those lines. I think that that's wrong as well. We have to.
Yeah, David, we just about run out of time, but I'm glad you brought that up, because whenever you call this program, you can always call it a Christmas tree. Thanks for calling in. It's 9:18 right now. Got to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. We'll get to the other callers right after the break. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Hack Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Hack Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? or trade in your outdated pieces for something new. So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Do you think you are, Mr. Big Stuff? Hey, it's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show. I'm your guest host, Stu Daniels. Earl will be back tomorrow. And today we are discussing books being banned around the country and here in our state. In fact, across our state, many communities have decided to ban books. And it's not the school districts themselves. It's parents or parents groups, sometimes called grassroots organizations. But in this case, as we were discussing with Rory Linane from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel during the last hour, many of these groups are more like astroturf groups instead of grassroots. And people from the LGBTQ plus community don't want our kids reading that stuff. Some of these books deal with history, but evidently there are some parents who don't want their children exposed to this stuff. And I think they feel threatened by a lot of this material. I don't know if they are afraid that their children are going to turn gay or something like that. That's not the way it works. But we're seeing this go on quite a bit. And as we discussed, it's just kind of exploded in the last couple of years. Up until about 2 years ago, it was only a handful of books every year that got banned. And then 2 years ago, over 2,500 books got banned, including 29 in Wisconsin. And this is according to Pen America, a group that tracks books being banned, although they don't have complete information. They just go on what they can find and what people alert them to. So 2 years ago, over 2,500 books banned, 29 in Wisconsin. And then last year, over 3,300 books were banned around the country, with 43 books banned in Wisconsin. And so far in this short school year, in just a few months the kids have been in school now, there have been over 700 books banned at school districts around the country. And going to go back to the phone lines. It looks like Al Holmes was on the line, but he dropped off. So Al, if you get a chance, feel free to call back. Let's go next in order. We've got Karina from Milwaukee. Thanks for calling in, Karina. What do you have for us today?
Hi, good morning. This is actually very scary. I'm from Russia, and in my house, we had to, I have a mixed house. My mama's side is Jewish, and my papa's side is Armenian, which are Christians. So all my childhood, we were hiding those books, my grandma's. And they were telling me stories. I was thinking they're fairy tales, and those stories were from Torah. When I figured it out. And I think that it's as a child and then growing adult, it was a discovery and estrangement, and actually kind of made me sad and mad at the same time that I wasn't able to receive that knowledge, that wisdom, that point of view, that piece of soul from my heritage, from my grandmas and grandpas, that they couldn't give me that, because it was the family would be going to a jail. My grandfather was in good luck with Solzhenitsyn. And after he wrote the book, my family helped him to distribute it underground in Moscow. He was hiding in our house from police. Americans have very short memory. Schools exist for teaching children something what is academically necessary for development, because you have to have all spectrum of the world presented to you. Parents shouldn't put themselves in the position to removing something from school, because if you cannot talk to your children and explain and have time, patience, knowledge, education, depthness of yourself to explain those books, this is why they are in school, that we have professionals, we have teachers, librarians, where children can sit down and have a good explanation on their questions. If you remove the books, who's going to answer those questions? Streets, friends, somebody you don't want them to answer those questions. It's a sickness of the society. If you go back to Inquisition, if you go back to socialism, Nazism, that's where the people were removing books from and burning them. This is scary. This is very bad sickness of the society.
Yeah, Karina, that's incredible information. It sounds like, did I hear you say that your family, somebody in your family was in jail with Alexander Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag, and your family helped to distribute his books? Is that what you said?
Yes, my grandpa, in the book, there's a Soma. This is my grandpa. They were together in Siberia, and then they were moved to Kazakhstan together. My whole family, 17 people was in the jail. All husbands, all wives, all brothers, all sisters. Everybody for 10 years.
Oh, that's an amazing story. Yeah, that's just an amazing story. So you speak with firsthand knowledge about what can happen when books are banned. This could be the beginning of something much greater, because when books get banned and it's allowed to happen, bad things can happen after that.
And former president have a speech with the vermin. I'm sorry, guys, you're moving in a very bad direction. It's better to turn around and look back and see the results and think if you want that result for your society, for your future, for your kids.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you brought that up about the former president now using the term vermin and the fact that he wants to root out the vermin in our society. That harkens back to 1930s in Germany and also in Italy. But Karina, thank you very much for the call. That was a very powerful call. Appreciate you calling in. We are discussing books, banning of books, and had some great callers so far. We still have more on the line. I'll be getting to those callers right after we take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. You're never gonna get my love.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. We'll be right back.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher and Tom Tiffany were the only two members of Wisconsin's delegation to vote against a bill to avoid a government shutdown this week. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson voted in favor of the temporary funding measure overnight. Now it's on President Biden's desk. The bill divides government funding into two portions with new deadlines in January and February. New research in Wisconsin shows a connection between Alzheimer's disease and military service. Scientists at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health find the donated brains of men who were veterans of World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War were 26 times more likely to show signs of Alzheimer's disease than men who did not serve in the military. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Wauwatosa, Whitefish Bay, and Shorewood find themselves at the forefront of a list they probably would rather not be on. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission has compiled a list of communities with the highest number of lead service lines, and it turns out that 9 of the 15 top communities on the list are located in southeastern Wisconsin. The good news is that financial assistance for line replacement is available in most areas, with over $500 million of taxpayer dollars allocated in the state. There's a separate pool of money specifically for Milwaukee. Milwaukee County's budget for the upcoming year has been approved. County Executive David Crawley signed the budget yesterday, which totals about $1.4 billion. Crawley says his budget focuses on several key areas, including a decrease in property taxes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com.
Jordan Love says the Packers are getting better. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice, although the team has lost 4 of their last 5 games. Quarterback Jordan Love says the offense is getting better thanks to receivers like rookie Jaden Reed.
He's not thinking. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he needs to get to and do some good things after the catch.
The Packers host the Chargers on Sunday. The WIAA State High School Football Championships are today and tomorrow at Camp Randall in Madison. Divisions 4 through 7 today, 1 through 3 tomorrow. Baseball, the Brewers introducing Pat Murphy as the new manager. Players like Christian Yelich supporting the hire. NBA, the last time the Bucks played in Toronto, they got blown out. Last night, they returned the favor with a 128-112 victory over the Raptors, and they did it with Giannis out with a sore calf muscle. Damian Lillard led Milwaukee with 37 points. The Bucks' Brook Lopez.
You know, he did a great job leading us offensively, making sure everyone was in their spots, getting people involved, being himself.
With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
65 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Chance for scattered showers 40. 44 tomorrow. Clear skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. UK.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back in to the Earl Ingram Show on this Thursday morning. I'm your guest host, Stu Daniels. Earl will be back tomorrow. And today we're discussing banned books. During the first hour, we had on a journalist from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rory Gallagher, who's been tracking book banning across our state. And then we've been taking phone calls since then. And by the way, if you'd like to join us on the phone, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 844-967-2789. And before we get to the next call, I just want to go back to David from Mequon, who mentioned a couple of things that I want to expand on a little bit. He mentioned that if a book is banned, it actually becomes more popular, because then kids, students, will want to see what they're missing now that the book is banned, and they'll try to find the book either online or somewhere else. And that may be the case to some degree. There may be some kids who do that, but I don't know if you could say that for, say that overall. You know, I mean, I think the way most people, most kids discover books is when they walk into the library, there's a book that reaches out to them and they become interested in it. And so I think that's how most people find books. And so by banning the books, I don't think it makes them more popular, but and in fact, the courts have weighed in on that. Okay, let me give you a little bit of one of these articles from Rory Linane, who was our guest earlier. She's talking about PEN America. That's P-E-N. PEN America, which is a nonprofit organization, says here that they have done the most comprehensive tracking of book bans. They count a ban whenever an objection to the content of a book results in removal or restricted access, overriding initial decisions by librarians or educators who had selected the materials originally. Okay. The organization, PEN America, does not count decisions made by educators to weed out materials during regular curriculum reviews and updates. Organizations that have pushed for removals have disagreed with that definition. Suzanne Gallagher, the director of Parents' Rights in Education, argued there is no ban if a book is still available via booksellers. Wisconsin parents have justified demands for removals by arguing that students can find the books in other places, right? That's what David from Mequon was saying. But in court cases, this is getting back to this article, in court cases involving materials removed from school libraries, judges have rejected those arguments. A federal judge in New Hampshire noted, quote, restraint on expression may not generally be justified by the fact that there may be other times, places, or circumstances available for such expression. In other words, you can't be banning books and then argue that, well, those books are available in other places, so let's just ban it here, especially if it's based on the ideas that are in the book. And just one more thing concerning David's call. He did mention that those books may not be available in the schools if they're banned, but they are available other places. One place we talked about was Menominee Falls, which just banned 33 titles in their school district. But interestingly enough, in Germantown, which is right next to Menominee Falls, there's an organization that is doing something about this. Are you familiar with the little libraries, you know, the boxes that people will put up in their front yard near the street so that people can come by and take a book or leave a book? Well, there's a Germantown nonprofit that focuses on books that are banned. I have an article here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says a Germantown nonprofit opened two little free libraries to allow access to banned books. It says a Germantown nonprofit that focuses on racial equality and diversity wants community members to have access to banned or challenged books and more books about diversity. So they are doing something about it. And what they've done is put together a couple of these little free libraries, and they're filled with banned books. So I think that's a good thing. They have a book club there in Germantown. It's the Germantown Community Coalition. They have a book club called Freedom to Read 'Em, and they meet once a month at the Germantown Community Library. So communities are fighting back, doing what they can to help people find the books that are being banned. And let's go back to the phone lines. I think we have Jim from Eden, who is next on the line. Jim, good morning. Thank you for calling. And what do you have to say today?
Yes. Good morning, Stu. Yeah, I'm not part of any national group or anything. I'm a grandfather of two boys in public schools, and that know that pornography leads to the denigration and, you know, even rape of women. You know, that's what I see, and that is what the statistics are. 99% of men that rape are users of porn. And Wisconsin has an obscenity law that says, defines any writing that an average person applying contemporary standards and that shows sexual conduct in a patently offensive way. You know, that is the standard. You know, an average person who reads or sees, who believes it's patently offensive, that is what the obscenity law in Wisconsin states is a reason that you can say, hey, no, this is a standard in Wisconsin that there are certain things that are offensive and should not be allowed for children. You know, that's where I'm coming from. What these books are talking about is aberrant violence and sexual activities, you know, explicit sexual activities, ejaculation, sexual penetration, you know, fingering. These are the things that are in these books. You know, that do we want a 14-year-old boy to be reading and to be thinking about? Because we know it leads to further pornography. And why begin it at age 14 in our public schools that they can find these books that have these things in them?
Well, Jim, I appreciate you calling and I appreciate your views. And I think that you and I and most of our listeners would agree that pornography does not belong in the libraries of our schools. And I think many will even argue that pornography doesn't belong in our public libraries as well. People who want to view pornography can find it easily enough. And I think some people would even argue that a 14-year-old boy, which you mentioned, reading these books that have been banned may come across a sexual passage or a passage that is of a sexual nature, and it may stir something inside of them. But all of these books that have been banned, none of them, at least as far as I can tell, would be considered pornography. And is a young man or a young woman at the age of 14, are they too young to understand a sexual situation at that age? And if they're exposed to it in a book about maybe a forced sexual situation or somebody their age, a character their age in the book, wondering about sex, you think that leads to them wanting to go down the pornography rabbit hole? Is that what you're saying?
Can I ask you, Stu, have you in your life? I certainly have. When I was a teenager, do you know, in our study hall, guys would be passing books around that they found And it was the thing. All the guys were reading this book that would be passed around. And that was when I was 14 and 15 years old. And that's what how guys are made. They are attracted to that stuff, you know, even in writing form, stories that are very explicit. And once it starts, it's very difficult to shut that off. Wouldn't you agree, Stu? Once that is initiated in your thinking as a young man, it does continue. Or are we? Are you saying you are and men are able to just shut that off the rest of their lives?
Well, I think most men can control that urge to a great degree. Let me ask you this. The book that was being passed around when you were 14 years old, was that a book that was checked out of the library?
I do not remember. That was in the 70s. If I do not remember the label that was, you know, if it was in the library, you know, our school library, or if somebody brought it in, I cannot tell you that. I cannot remember that.
All right, Jim. Yeah, thank you for the call. I appreciate your views. Your views are important, and thank you for calling in. And as far as I can tell, the books that have been banned in our state and even around the country are books that were reviewed extensively by the librarians and educators in those schools. And after a thorough review of those books, the librarians or the educators and or the educators decided to bring them into the library because they thought there was an important story in that book for their students to read. And they obviously felt that reading whatever sexual passage was in that book was not going to lead to someone who couldn't control their urges to look at more pornography or do something sexual. But then there's also that argument that, especially these days, way more than when Jim and I were in school back in the 70s, it's so easy for a 14-year-old boy to find pornography these days. All it takes is a couple of clicks. And obviously not every parent can be hovering over their child all day and night to make sure that they're not checking out the pornography sites. So personally, I would much rather have my 14-year-old reading books from the library that I know have been curated by a librarian who's gone to school to study such things and has access to reviews of these books. I would rather have them reading those books than going online and finding all the crazy stuff that you find online these days. But that's just my opinion. Going to try to take one more call before we have to go to a break. It looks like Tom from West Allis is on the line. Tom, thanks for calling in. What do you have to say today?
Hi there. You kind of stole my thunder a little bit there. And when we're talking about banned books and stuff and sexuality and all that, you know, books like To Kill a Mockingbird and Animal Farm and like Fahrenheit 451 and all that, I remember those were like required reading in some of my classes. I remember reading Animal Farm in seventh grade. And again, the great equalizer of this whole thing is there's the internet. Now, the gentleman who just called was talking about passing books around and stuff when we were all younger, because yeah, I was a product of that era. And I remember doing that. I remember finding Playboys and garbage and all that stuff, you know, but also how many kids are actually reading books out of the library today? Everything is online. Everything.
Tom, I hate to interrupt you, but I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a second. We got to take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Hack Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Hack Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Hey, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. On a Thursday morning, Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He will be back tomorrow. This is our final segment, and I want to thank everybody for calling in today and tuning in. We've been discussing banned books. Still have time for a few more calls. The phone number is 844-967-2789, and we were talking to Tom from West Dallas, and he was telling us how back when, and in fact, Jim before that from Eden was telling us how when he was in school, books would be passed around among the boys when they were like 14, 15 years old, or maybe even younger. But we had the same thing too. You know, when I was in school, what, eighth grade or ninth grade or so, I guess, is when that stuff happens. And we had books, but Tom from West Dallas said, they were books that somebody stole from their dad's closet or found in the trash or something like that. These weren't books from the library that parents felt needed to be banned. These were pornography. I mean, that was pornography that we used to, you know, look at back in the day when we were kids, because we didn't have access to the internet back then. And so that's all we had to work with. And nowadays, of course, kids can hit a couple of clicks and see just about anything you could possibly imagine. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. 952, we got Tom from West Dallas. I'm sorry I had to cut you off, Tom. Did you want to add something else before we go on to the next caller?
I really do, but I'll make it quick. I think my main point is that with what they, the other books they are banning, it is not all about pornography and all that. It has to do with different ideas, and they're banning those books as well. And in my opinion, it's like the saying goes, those who do not study history are condemned to repeat it. Well, we're taking history away from these kids so they can't study it. Therefore, it would be much easier for some of these these people who want to go a certain direction. It makes it easier for them if the kids are not exposed to other ideas saying, hey, wait a minute, this might not be right. Like Animal Farm is a perfect example of that. Like, look at what they're doing with the pigs and the humans. You know, it was just something that, you know, if kids look at that and now they look in today's world of what's going on, it's like, wow, that's kind of similar. Maybe there is, this isn't right. But if they don't learn that, they'll just follow everything like sheep.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, Tom. And yeah, thank you for the call. That's exactly the way it is. And one thing we should mention is that some of these banned books aren't being banned because of sexual passages in them. They're being banned because of their historical nature. They have stories from history in them that evidently some parents feel threatened by, and they don't want their kids to learn that part of history for one reason or another. And as you mentioned, you got to study history, because if you don't, you know, we could repeat it. Let's go back to the phone lines now and the time we have remaining. Next on the line is CJ. Good morning, CJ. What do you have for us today?
Well, thank you, Stu. I got a comment and a question. And thanks for taking my call. One of the blessings that we have, one of the only blessings we have coming out of COVID and the shutdowns, is we found out what our kids were learning and what they weren't. There's a difference between banning and age appropriate. We do that with the movies. Why we couldn't do that with books? You know, and it's partly the way things are sold to us. We look at the Florida law. It was actually called the Parental Rights in Education Bill, but the press, the nationwide press, sold it to America as the Don't Say Gay Bill. Never said it in the bill, doesn't say it in the bill, and it passed because parents care. And the question I do have for you and the listeners, do you believe that books should be age appropriate? There's a difference between banning and not letting a third grader learn things, just like the Parental Rights in Education Bill was directed towards kids from kindergarten to third grade. And they got dragged in by the teachers' union that it was about transgender for high school kids. Never said it in the bill. Doesn't say it in the bill, and the press was lying to America like they do on a lot of things. So the mere fact that, you know, banning books, I believe, yes, where's the parents in that? I think it should be authorized by a parent for a particular kid to read a book. It shouldn't be up to the school. It shouldn't be up to the teacher. The parents should have a right and the ability to go in and look at the curriculum that the school is teaching our kids. And that's what we found out during COVID, Stu. And do you believe that some books should be rated for appropriateness? I'd be curious to hear that, because I don't hear that a lot from the left and the Democrats and everything. It's all about you're banning books.
Yeah. Well, CJ, thank you for calling and thank you for expressing your views. You and I do agree on some things. We also disagree on some things, but I do agree with you that books should be age appropriate. And that's why I feel confident and in trusting librarians. I've known several librarians over the years, including librarians who've worked in school libraries, and that's what they do. They curate the books that are coming into their library, making them age appropriate, putting them in the right sections so that the children, the students, can find the books that they're looking for. I don't think any librarian is going to bring in material that is pornographic and expose kids to that. And we only have about a minute left. See if Tom has something he wants to get in real quick. Tom from LA calling back. Tom, you have something really fast before we run out of time?
Yeah, I just want to correct the record. 99% of the people that actually watch porn are not rapists. Jim likes to put that, you know, like Republicans do, they like to put little factoids in that then people believe that propaganda. So that is not true.
All right, brother. Thank you for calling. We've run out of time. We've only got a few seconds left. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I also want to thank Earl Ingram for allowing me this opportunity to fill in for him the past few days. He'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great day today. Thank you for tuning in.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.